Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Blue Kool-Aid drinkers! We are back, and boy, oh boy, do we have something to celebrate here tonight. The Lions with a huge victory. Victory. Over the Washington Commanders, 36-27.
Down the field.
I mean, just an awesome, awesome game. There's a lot of great stuff to talk about. But before we get into all that, let's introduce the Blue Kool-Aid crew that is here. So I'm Big Z. Let's get to the rest. We got Rud Dog.
Yo!
Bob.
Hello.
And UJ.
Hey, fellow Kool-Aid drinkers.
All righty, guys. So there's a lot of different places we can start with this. Let's just start with the first half in general. Finally, the Lions get out to a big lead, 22-0. Only allowed 2 first downs. And honestly, Washington didn't get their first down until 5 minutes left in the second quarter. Just how great was it to see this team come out full speed ahead? Compared to the last game where we did jump out to it quickly, but then the Eagles, like, you know, went full steam all the way to the halftime. So this is completely different. Bob, let's go to you first. Feelings on the Lions coming out hot.
It's a great feeling, man. I love it. Love it. It's a new era for the Lions. I haven't felt that one in a while where we just dominate a game. I mean, Washington did, you know, make it interesting later, but hey, basically we won wire to wire. So it was a fun game. Nice to see the defense click in and the offense, both sides of the ball and special teams. Everything was clicking.
It was literally a perfect half of football. I mean, they didn't get in our territory. I don't believe that half. The 2 first downs and, wow, it was just a completely dominant performance. And at halftime, I'm there, man, we're just celebrating. And then I'm realizing, hey, there's another whole half to go. Shit. then some of those old feelings. A little bit, you know. Okay, it's all right. Really, this is a different team, and sure enough, they went into their lull, but they broke out of it this time.
Yeah, the big run from Amon-Ra, and then the awesome play from Swift to fall down, get up, and burst into the end zone.
That's those player kind of plays that we have now that we didn't have before. You know, we have guys that can do elite things like Amon-Ra and Swift. You know, you get a play like that from them. It's awesome.
Yeah, we can talk about our defensive standout in the first half. Our rookie, Hutch, coming through with 3 big sacks.
Oh, my goodness.
Awesome. Welcome to the NFL.
Yeah, so I wanted to start with the defensive side of the ball. So Hutch, three sacks, rookie record for most sacks in a game by a rookie.
I mean, Rudd Dog, what did you see out of Hutch? Maybe that we didn't see in this in the first game.
Oh well, I mean everything you wanted to see and then some, I guess. but you know, as much as he, as good as he looked, I can't compliment him without just complimenting the way the unit performed. You know, he said it himself after that unit looked tight and concise. And like they keep talking about tedium in pass rush, isn't that like a, I don't think like people under, a lot of people like understand how cool that is to like think about like how, like the way they're getting what level these guys are operating at, and that just excites me. And seeing them put together, like, you know, me and UJ have talked this a lot, like with guys like Clay Matthews in the past, where like they would set him up like a running back, like their line would block for him and he would shoot the gap, and you saw that happen when Hutch hit that stunt and got the sack, that clean sack on Wentz. That was like, it's such a thing of beauty. And oh, it's just, this line is explosive and smart and angry, you know, not always a little heavy, I think, sometimes in the defense, but, or in the run defense, but just, I don't think that's going to matter a whole lot because they're going to make up for it with, you know, their upside and their disruptiveness.
Well, I mean, Washington only ran for 88 yards in this game. Their league ball carrier, yeah, Tony Gibson, 14 for 28. So they definitely stepped up in that department compared to last game, for sure.
Yeah. Can I say one more thing about Hutch? Just kind of what makes that guy special. Like,
we can't talk about him anymore.
When they were, like, all his sacks, you know, they're different. Like, the one was just where he just didn't give up on it. He gets pushed out at the side, you know, around the back, and he just comes around the back. And the guy, I'm like, he just nonstop motor, so the guy doesn't give up on a play. Mm-hmm. It's
exactly. You took the words out of my mouth. That's what I was going to say. A lot of his sacks, honestly, weren't like the most masterful, skillful by any means in this game, but he hustles. He just keeps going. High motor.
Yeah.
And that's what separated him to me from maybe like a guy like Walker in this draft. Because Trayvon Walker, I don't know if you've seen some of the plays he's made for the Jags. He's super gifted and athletic, but I think Hutch is going to have better stats just from his pure hustle.
Yeah, just one more point on Hutch too. Hutch got banged up a little bit, his leg or something. He was limping around, and mm-hmm. you know, typical these days, it seems like anybody gets nicked up, they're done. You know, they take him out. Hutch is back in there limping around and still fighting. That just, I don't know, shows grit, man. Guy's out there hobbling a little bit, but he's not going to come out of the game and kept playing. It was just good to see. That's from that toughness standpoint, you know.
Absolutely. And let's keep it on the defense side. Another guy that played through an injury in this game, but really stood out. A guy that we picked up on waivers that everybody wanted, and maybe we saw why in this game. Kaminsky, John Kaminsky, the defensive end.
Yeah,
he had a sack as well in this game. The sack to seal the game up at the end, but he was all over too. He was up there in terms of pressures for the game, grayed out really well in pass rush.
I love it.
Really, really nice rotational piece, and even Aquara as well.
That's what
Julian
I love about
Aquara.
This defense though. They just take these big explosive athletes. Like, why wasn't this guy like shining elsewhere? It's because, I mean, I know people respected him, but like, the thing is, he was this big, explosive athlete, and I bet you they asked him to do something like hold his ground or something instead of let him fire off the ball, shoot the gaps, you know, really stress these limited athletes on the offensive line oftentimes. Like, I mean, it's like, oh, I love seeing it. And you see the fruit, it's already boring week two. Like,
it's yeah, well, with Kowalski, Jack, you're exactly right. He
Kowalski?
He was a victim of a scheme change at Atlanta. That's where he was, right? Atlanta.
One of the fighting Irish, huh?
And he was getting a lot of playing time until they switched to a 3-4, and then all of a sudden he just didn't fit the scheme anymore. And
yeah, exactly.
And to our advantage, because we wound up with him, so it was great. Kowalski, did I say Kowalski? Yeah, Kowalski.
Kowalski.
Let's keep it on the defense right now, and then we can move to offense in a little bit. But a few more defenders I want to note. Will Harris had a great game in this game too, actually. He was one of our highest graded guys and made a big catch on a pass deflection, so nice to see him get in on there. Had a few nice tackles in this game. I mean, tied for the lead.
Yeah.
Team lead in tackles. nice to see him have a good game, like consistent game throughout.
That's really nice. Yeah. We've been waiting for that from him. I mean, the coaches have believed in him for the last couple of years, but we're starting to see it on the field. It's nice.
Exactly. Yeah.
And how about Jeff Okuda, man? That guy's becoming consistent.
Well, hey, let's not just move on from Will real quick. I got some comments
all right,
for Will,
go ahead.
Too.
Good. Sorry about that.
But, yes, we'll go to Jeff. But, yeah. No, Will, he did put up a really good game. And, like, I think it's, like, really funny to, like, it's, you think when you're in this league this long, something's got to click, right? But it's really awesome to see, like, a guy we, you know, these coaches keep doubling down on. Like you said, Bob, that was the thing. These coaches seen something, right? Like,
two coaching staffs have seen something.
Yeah. How many fans have called for this guy's head? like people have had no patience for him, and it's really cool to see him finally getting, you know, some getting his, you know.
Absolutely. So Will Harris, big shout out to you. Keep it going.
Yep.
And Okuda, who mentioned him?
I did.
Bob. Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, I was just saying that, you know, he's kind of doing what we wanted him to do. I mean, it was looking like might have been over his head early in his career. I mean, he hasn't had much of a career because he's been injured most of it. But the guy just goes to work, man. I mean, get these cramps under control. He's been pretty consistent out there. It's nice to see.
Yeah, we're actually seeing what he was touted to be, you know.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Coming into this league, which is really nice.
Yeah, gave up only 31 yards. Allowed 3 catches, but only for 31 yards. I think most of that was on one catch, and then only targeted 5 times. So they're not even throwing his way that much because he's doing a good job covering. But as you mentioned, yeah. 2 games in a row, he's had cramps. He's had to come out for multiple plays. So he said he's going to talk to a nutritionist this week. Maybe not drinking enough Gatorade or something.
No Kool-Aid. He needs more Kool-Aid.
Yeah, Kool-Aid. Needs more Kool-Aid. That's right.
You know, he's really looking like a number one draft pick finally, though. Oddly enough, I think the play that stood out to me in this game was the play where he actually made a mistake. It was the one when the guy caught the ball right in front of him, and he, like, juked him, and he, like, went around him. And Okuda then turned around and, like, ran 5 yards downfield and dove and tackled him at his ankles. Like, one of these blazing fast
receivers. Oh, yeah.
Receivers.
I remember that play. You're talking about.
That looked elite despite the mishap. Like, you average athletes can't do that stuff. Like, that was impressive. And if he, you know, obviously keeps cleaning up his game, that's going to happen less and less. And that was honestly, like, for once, I finally looked at Jeff Okuda and I was like, okay, I kind of see what people seen in this kid when they pulled the trigger on him in that high, you know?
Definitely. Definitely. And let's go with another guy from the front 7. I don't know if you guys have heard of him before. His name's Malcolm Rodriguez. Goes by Rodrigo.
Rodrigo.
Man, another great game out of Rodrigo.
Yeah.
He graded extremely well in pass rush.
No surprise.
He still has some work to do in his pass coverage.
How about when I would say Carson Wentz juked him out, though, on that run?
Yeah.
Got him one foot and beat him on the
not perfect.
No,
hey, but it's very telling too because Barnes had 0 plays at linebacker.
Who?
Yeah,
who are you? Who is this person you speak of?
Barnes, 0 snaps.
I don't know who that person is. Is he on the Lions?
That was my preseason surprise player for the team. So it's the surprise is that he's on the team.
What is happening? Well, it's disappointing. That. Just disappointing, you know.
It is.
I mean, you saw Board was in there a bit, and a couple of guys, but Barnes, man, didn't even put him on the field.
Board is actually our highest graded player defensively.
Wow,
really?
So, yeah,
that's good.
Board, Kaminsky, then Harris, then Rodrigo.
Hey, Z, you got all these stats at your fingertips. How about Deshaun Elliott? To me, he seemed always like a step slow that game to me. And maybe just to my eye watching the game.
Watch
I was
the
a little
highlights.
Disappointed.
I mean,
it's apparent.
At least as a blitzing safety, he did a really good job. He hit the quarterback twice on 2 hit. I mean, forced some early throws.
Okay.
I would not agree with that.
Watch the coverage. Watch his coverage highlights where he's the safety coming in. It's like –
I'm not saying it was all good.
All the plays back to back to back. It's like literally like he hit like a they catch the ball a beat. He hits him. They catch the ball a beat. He hits him. It's like repeat. And he's crushing them. He's just there. But they're all holding on to it. Damn it.
Are
you talking about the touchdown pass?
The touchdown. Yeah, another one on the sideline. Like I like him.
I don't think
run
that was his guy.
A lot.
I actually think that was Rodrigo's guy on the touchdown pass. Although, wait. No.
Over top.
It was not a good defense that we were put in.
It wasn't a bad play by him either. He crushed the dude. Yeah. Like that dude was a tough dude for holding on to the ball. Like, seriously.
Hey,
tough.
Z, I'm guessing all those guys. Z, you don't have your PFF stuff, do you? Because usually, if I compliment a player, you'll be like, "Well, PFF says he sucks." You know, like,
oh,
well,
yeah.
I just have some of the numbers true. Up, but I mean, I've said this a million times. PFF is. By no means the final word. It's just a data point to start a conversation.
We are the final
yes,
word.
Yes, we are the
Drinking
final word.
The blue Kool-Aid is the final
word.
Get
the stamp of the Kool-Aid performance. Crew. No one else really does it out there, so that's why they're so popular.
Hey, to UJ's point real quick, though, about the whole secondary as a whole and him being a beat late or not, our whole it was never easy for them to catch the ball, I felt like. They made a lot of plays because they were really good. But we made it hard on them almost every single time. I felt like they were catching the ball, they were getting tackled, and they made some really great effort to hold on to it and stuff. Like, those guys did not just run wild on us.
Hey, Rud Dog, I agree with that. We were hitting them hard out there. And that one touchdown they scored, the guy got clobbered as soon as he caught the ball.
That was Elliot. Like,
that's like, the play we were talking about, like, Samuel.
Man, they were just laying the wood out there. So even if you did catch it, you were going to feel it.
Yeah.
So
yeah, they make you pay. They bit the kneecap. Oh, my.
Yeah.
It's happening.
So let's move now to the offensive side of the ball. Some really exciting stuff. So, I mean, the Lions come into this game missing Ragnow, missing Jonah Jackson. What is with the thing? Let's wear mittens during practice week, folks.
Right, seriously.
How are we getting such bad finger injuries in non-contact practice?
I know.
They're knocking
us out of game. Non-contact. There's no pads.
I am befuddled how this has happened 2 years in a row.
He's flipping somebody off out there. And
you're right about mittens, though. They probably get too tough.
Like,
it's a non-contact.
Have you watched baseball recently? The guys at Steel second base wear these giant like gloves so they don't
jam
their fingers.
The wit.
I think the offensive linemen need that during these practices because this is ridiculous.
No, you just tie one of them helmet bubbles to their hands, you know. No.
From now on, all non-contact practices are on Madden simulations, okay?
In VR. They'll use the VR to practice.
Yeah, right.
The NFL just released their VR game, so maybe they can do that.
Then they'll all get like vertigo sickness or something. There'll be a new ailment.
You might hurt your finger on the controller, so if you're...
carpal tunnel.
Very true. No. So Ragnow's out with a foot and groin. Who knows which one hurts more? Probably the groin. He was bothering him coming in last week. Jackson out, and then obviously Big V's out for almost all year. So Stenberg at right guard, Evan Brown at center, and then the surprise start at left guard, Dan Skipper.
Big Teddy Bear.
He's never played there, hasn't played there since high school, and he looked, like a pretty solid backup. If you go watch some of the replays, Skipper is making some big blocks. He's moving people downfield. It's really encouraging. And the locker room after the game. I mean, if you haven't seen the video, go look it up.
God.
But they were all really, really pumped for him. Because obviously, if you watch Hard Knocks, he was pretty much brought to like tears about getting cut. But then they quickly brought him back, put on the practice squad, and now starting a game and playing extremely well.
I just wanted to give him a hug.
I know.
He looked so happy.
He was on the verge of tears in the locker room there. Yeah. When he was cut, getting the shout out.
Oh, my God.
And how about just this staff and Hank Fraley for getting that line ready, man. They lose a few guys, that's always the thing, next man up. But this, it actually played off in this one. It was next man up, and these guys delivered. So it's pretty
all right. Did you see Skipper mic'd up? He went up to DeAndre Swift and said, "Just follow me, little buddy."
Oh, my God.
Did he really?
No.
No.
That's a Gilligan's Island reference.
Play with me like that.
Yeah, UJ, I think you're the one that posted the Gilligan's
That's
Island
amazing.
Reference on our Instagram, too. I think that was for an audience of our older Instagram audience.
That's right.
Hey, though, you know what? These kind of things, Dan Campbell called it, like, he said things like, some of these guys, they start out by filling the spot, and then, they just never look back. Like, and I the way these guys looked, why do they, what's to make us think they might not be able to pull some of that? This dude's a monster. He's a huge dude. Like, he's going to hold up against some of these big guys that, like, the Jordan Davises of the NFL, and I like his upside inside the all that weight inside. And same with Evan Brown. He's reliable. If he's available, you know, that makes him better than Ragnow right now. And same thing with Evan with Stenberg. His upside is we've always liked it. If he keeps cleaning up his game, this line might be our future line, and I like how it looks.
What?
Now.
Our future line.
Yeah, I mean,
I'm just saying, if these injuries keep piling up.
Brown is about as good as a backup center you will find in the NFL. He is. That's awesome.
I know. That's what I'm saying.
Stenberg.
He's going to get a starting contract somewhere, I bet, if the way he's playing.
Stenberg looks fairly good in the run game, but his pass game leaves a ton to be desired. He is still really bad.
I keep cleaning it. And hey, look, they're putting up 35 points a game with him in there.
I know.
So, I mean,
I know.
It's hard to complain too much. He got to keep working, though. I'm not giving him an all.
He does have to keep working, but yeah, he's got potential there. He's pretty.
I'm just saying, there's potential in these guys. These aren't just like spot holders with no potential and upside. These guys are pretty damn good.
I wouldn't be surprised when Jackson comes back to maybe see Skipper go to right guard and Stenberg go.
I'd be
back
fine
to
with that. I mean, I don't know.
Whatever works.
But Stenberg has looked good in the run game. There's some really good blocks he's thrown out there and double teams and such. I just don't see his pass pro getting any better anytime soon. I think he's another year, fourth year.
He's in the fight, you know. He's in the place where best place to learn, you know.
Hey,
true.
I just want to make a side note. I don't know if you guys saw any of the locker room afterwards, Campbell. And I think one of the reasons the players just love this guy so much is he gives credit, you know, to these guys that are out there hustling, doing a hard job. And like, he called out Skipper and Harris and, you know, these guys that don't get their names called a lot, you know, and just gave them all the credit, you know, in the locker room. And I just think that means a lot to those guys.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Like that affirmation.
Yeah.
Like when he called out Cephas in the post game conference, you know, for that. Terrific block.
The ghost of Cephas appeared briefly in the game.
Hey, he's blocking downfield like a dog. Okay, that's how you score points on this team, and he's going to show up.
Yeah,
he's going to show up. You know what? Because honestly, right now Chark's leaving a little bit to be desired, and I don't know if that's all his fault or the fact that they're not targeting him enough. But like one shot or two shots a game isn't enough to get a guy really in a rhythm or anything. Like it's hard to blame him if he does drop the one ball you throw his way.
Well,
all
and
game.
He was wide open in that one, and Goff just missed him.
That one too, yeah.
But
I'm just saying they barely target him for their supposed weapon. You know, I know St. Brown is too good to leave, you know, to ignore.
But, I think he's adding something out there though, even though he hasn't put up a lot of numbers, just because he is such a deep threat. He's fast as hell. That's something that people have to consider on defense.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So I'm going to read you a blind resume really quick, if you don't mind. This player in his last eight games, if you can tell me maybe who he is. It's a wide receiver. He had this wide receiver at the end of the last year. Had 10 catches.
Amon Ra?
These are his last eight games.
Is his dad Mr. Universe?
10 catches, 86 yards, and a touchdown.
His brother plays for the Bears,
73
right?
yards. Eight catches, 73 yards. Eight catches, 73 yards.
Does he speak German?
I'm gonna start over.
Oh, no.
Last six games of 2021, 10 catches, 86 yards, one touchdown. Eight catches, 73 yards. Eight catches, 90 yards and a touchdown. Nine catches, 91 yards and a touchdown. Eight catches, 111 yards and a touchdown. Eight catches, 109 yards and a touchdown. Start of this year, eight catches, 64 yards and a touchdown. Nine catches, 164 yards, two touchdowns. Now, for the sake of the game, who is that player?
Stop, Zach. Stop. Cephas. You're turning me on.
Cephas.
Oh, you were close. It's Amon Ra St. Brown. I know you never
know.
I think Cephas' greatness just rubbed off on him a little bit.
How about this guy? I didn't even include the fact that he went for a 58-yard run and a 10-yard run in this game. On the same play. They ran the same play twice, and he got 10 yards and 58 yards.
Yeah.
He's giving me Jerry Rice level vibes, you guys. I'm feeling this guy's got that level of like. I think he's going to produce well and for a long time.
Oh, for sure, for sure. But you got to credit the play calling too. Some of these plays are calling. In fact, that run by Amon Ra, that 58-yard run, was a catalyst there to get us back on the right side.
Yeah, that was.
We were. Yeah. Go ahead.
That was when we were down 22-15. Looked like we were stalling out a little bit. And like you said, yep, big run there. And then the touchdown throw to Swift. So
yeah. You know what's cool about this offense, too, is we've scored 35 points, you know, for three straight games or whatever. And like these last two games, it seems like we've left points out there still. I mean, that's how good we are, right? We have we still have a ceiling to reach. Even though we're scoring all these points, we could be even better. It's awesome.
Right. No, that safety swing was pretty nice. I was kind of upset with Williams. Jamal, he missed that touchdown right before we gave it up, and then the whole safety and all that. I don't know if anyone noticed that. He bounced it outside for some reason. There was just a hole.
Oh.
Anyway. But I imagine Deuce was yelling at him on the sidelines. And then we got the safety swing. Can we talk about that? Because that was awesome. How often does that happen?
Yeah, with 5-0 lead. It's nice.
Right?
Oh, yeah.
But, like, the successful safety swing where, you know, it's where you sometimes you almost are tempted to, like, turn the ball over right there so that you can get the safety, get the ball back, go down and score a touchdown. You got a 9-point scoring sequence, right? And, like, it's obviously so improbable that you never want to actually do it on purpose. But when it happens, it's awesome.
Just a little
grand slam.
I'm sure you already saw this, but in case you didn't know, this is the first time in NFL history someone's had 8 catches and a touchdown in this many consecutive games in a row.
Unreal.
So
yeah,
setting NFL records already. 2 games into his second year in the league. That's extremely encouraging. And you know the other thing about this offense too? We don't even have Jamison Williams out there.
Oh, I know.
Throw him in the mix. This,
I know.
This God. You know, it gets you real, real excited.
Dude's so bad.
It's going to be super, super fun to see when he's thrown in the mix as well.
Hey, what'd you guys think of Jared Goff? I'm just curious. I mean, he obviously put up some stats with 4 touchdown passes, but it seems like he's still missed a few out there. But what he did, though, he didn't turn the ball over. He protected the ball, which was nice.
Bad throw that
he almost
in
did.
The air for that.
But no, he didn't though. You're right.
One errant throw, but you know, I would describe his performance as gritty and effective. Like he missed some, but it was ultimately, you know, he hit the ones he needed.
Yeah,
and some of them were those like that one to in the first half against to St. Brown where he like run into his right. I thought that was really nice. Like he looked very composed under some nice duress. It was a tight pocket, and he delivered a strike.
Yeah, yeah. I'm
yeah. Another,
bullish
another
on
thing
him.
Too.
Go ahead.
Couple drops that cost Goff too. I mean, Hock dropped one that should have been a gainer, and then Swift dropped one that should have been a big gainer.
Oh, that was.
And you know,
didn't Shark drop one too? Or was that the last?
St. Brown again too.
St. Brown. Yeah.
Yeah.
So. I think was. Hey, what did you guys think? I thought that was a drop on
the trick play. The throw
trick play,
throwback. I did too.
I thought it hit him right in the hands.
Yeah, I would agree.
A little bit of screening maybe from the defense at most, but he should have caught that. I thought
it would have been a tough catch, but I agree with you, Red Dog. I thought it actually hit him in the hands. Some people said it didn't throw it well. I thought he threw it. It hit him in the hands. He should have caught it.
Yeah,
same.
Yeah, right.
I actually didn't think that was bad. He did miss another deep throw, where he had him later in the game,
But you know, even Aaron Rodgers misses deep throws. You know, like he's missed making most of his throws, and he's hitting a lot of good ones.
But I thought the first touchdown throw to Amon-Ra, that ball was placed perfectly.
Oh yeah,
he had a tight window throw to Hock. I thought that was placed perfectly as well. Like if he doesn't catch it, it's gonna go incomplete. Like that, he found the right spot to throw it. I also thought he had a really nice throw to Brock Wright in a tight window. Brock Wright's stock continues to go up, and I would say Hawks kind of goes down.
I know. I think Hawk has been disappointing.
I think Brock Wright is playing himself in the starting tenant role maybe next year, especially for the money that Hawk might be expecting to come his way that I don't think.
I
don't agree with you guys on that. But
what's with Hawk?
I am more bullish on Hawk. I think he's a threat out there, and I think he draws people away. And, you know, he did drop some balls in this game, but he's catches some too. So I'm bullish on him.
I just don't feel.
Ebron caught one every once in a while.
No, Ebron did not have the motor like Hock did. I'm sorry.
No, I think Hock's much better than Ebron. But
yeah,
I agree.
I've I probably sound like a broken record like this, but TJ Hockenson as a blocker has disappointed me the most.
Yes. So.
Yeah.
He throws some good ones now, at least.
You should
sprinkle in some good
see
ones.
See Swift's 52-yard run last week. It's, he was blocking on that. So, yeah.
Yeah.
No, he throws in some good blocks. He's getting better. He's just got to get better still.
Like, oh, yeah.
It's not what you want to see yet.
I don't think there's anybody in the Lions who can't get better. Maybe St. Brown or something. Or, but, you know.
Hey, we're early in the season, so he's got plenty of time to improve. And if, you know, he puts it together by the end of the season, this offense is really going to be humming because him as an all-around weapon that can actually block effectively and be a great receiver will really just be, oh, that'll be unfair.
Because, see, I like Brock Wright and where way he's trending, but I don't think he's superior to
quite that level
right now. I just don't see that.
I mean, I'll gladly take Hock back, but at the right price. What for the money I think he's looking.
You don't have a choice. They're gonna give him a whole boatload of money, dude.
Well, I don't understand.
If you see some of the other talent on the team, I rather save our salary cap for, you know.
I'll trust the process. I'll trust Holmes and Campbell.
I've seen this team with no tight end before, and it sucks. So I want.
True.
Well, that's true, but Hock should be like breaking out here. I mean, but he's not getting open, you know, or just him and Goff don't seem to be on the same page a lot. I don't know. I don't understand. He should be.
He should be getting
listening to this, and this is going to be the fire.
Well, it's weird. The last couple of years, Hock started hot and then kind of cooled off, and this year he's cool. He's going to pick up steam.
Maybe that's a good sign.
I like
it. You like that? All right.
Steady would be a good start for him.
Another fun offensive stat is that the Lions in the run game are leading the league in yards per carry before contact. So again, shout out to Hank Fraley, Ben Johnson. I think it's 3.3 yards per carry before they've made contact.
Wow.
That's awesome. Right now. It's steadily over 3. I think it's 3.3, I believe is the number. But either way, that's just like, I mean, you're falling another yard. So that's just great. And that's great run design and great communication up front. Is what that comes down to. Ben Johnson.
We got to give some credit, you guys, to the past regimes here. Not necessarily the coaches, just the personnel people that put these lines together, man. This has been building for, like, multiple regimes straight, and it's finally culminating. Because, look, it's even our depth is quality, and that's all been by design, and that's not just this regime. Like, Dan Skipper's been here since before these guys. So, I mean, I'm just saying, like, it's kind of wild to see it. That there's actually some good that's come out of the past here.
And we have Decker and Sewell. It's anchors, man. It's like,
yeah.
Oh, that's the best part. Yeah. I'm glad we had our bookends.
Yeah, like you almost forget they're out there. That's a good thing.
Yeah.
So having them and healthy is incredible for any team. And Ben Johnson, I think his name is going to be, I mean, the Hard Knocks hero, Ben Johnson. hardly seen on Hard Knocks yet.
Oh.
What's with Ragnow's toe, though, by the way? Come on. A toe injury, and he's got the same toe again. Like
Grizzly out, man.
Is it the same injury, though?
It's the same toe, I know. But he had.
But it's the one that went to the surgery, market, you guys.
He had surgery to fix it. But, I mean, Campbell seems to think he'll be okay, so I'll have to trust him.
Campbell today, so we're recording this on Monday night, and he said, we're not concerned. We feel like the thing will heal up. We just need to give him a little more time. Frank feels a little better today, and we'll see where that's at. So not very descriptive, but nonetheless, you don't feel as bad about missing Ragnow when you got a guy like Evan Brown out there. Now, if Evan Brown falls out, then there's a lot more concern.
But we're better with Ragnow out there. Ragnow's just elite. I'm sorry. That guy's one of the best in the league. We can only be better with him.
Yeah, he's a monster.
Yeah. Jonah Jackson, who knows with his finger. You know, you think a finger for a lineman, they just tape like two of them together and they go out and play. So I'm not sure what he did unless it's like crooked or something. But again, Taylor Decker's out half the season last year with a finger injury.
And you know, these are elite D lines they're going against, though. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, not like these guys are holding up against, you know, slouches, so
yeah,
I feel pretty good about their trajectory.
Yeah, and the other big injury from the Warrior, he was out this past game, with a back injury. So he follows the way of Big V and Levi that need to go to a they need to do some yoga in the off season to work on their their lower back. I don't know.
Is this the game that launches
going
the...
on through the locker room or what? But lower back injury.
Charles Harris origin story. I mean, the Will Harris origin story.
What?
I said, is this the game that launched the Will Harris origin story?
Oh, maybe. Maybe.
You know, the first 5 years or 6 years of his career were just like the montage at the beginning. Then the game that changed it all. Hmm.
Yeah. Also, shout out to Charles Harris on his pass rush for safety. I forgot to mention.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yes. For sure.
That was great to see. You know, the Lions being aggressive at the goal line. They don't get it, but it's okay. The numbers say it's okay because something like that is more likely to happen.
Right.
Where you're going to get the ball back again in great field position for another try, or, you know, you turn it over and get points. So.
And with the way our defensive line was playing,
I liked Washington going for two multiple times. It's kind of nice. All right.
Yeah, the second time they went for two is weird.
The second time was stupid.
Yeah, I didn't get that.
They would have been within seven, and they don't make it. Now it's eight.
And
that really cost them at the end of the game. I mean, I didn't understand that at all, unless they just have no faith in their kicker.
Wasn't it nine?
And then their kicker missed an extra point, and the next time they scored.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Which made it nine. But if they just kicked it earlier, then it would have been eight.
Yeah.
Hey, that goes with my grandpa's old saying: "Never go for two until you absolutely need to."
Well, that makes sense. Things like that happen.
Thinking on that is changing now. I mean, a lot of these guys are going for two more often. So you get it earlier in the game, and then you don't have to chase it later. But I don't know.
Yeah, I'm not totally against it, but I thought the second time them going for two was I didn't agree with that.
I don't know. It's like one of those things, too, where like it's sort of like Dan Campbell kicking it, the onside kick, everyone giving him crap last week. Like, they're like, why'd you do it then? He's like, you're down. It's like, why wait till they know you're going to do it? Like, sometimes, like, you just have a better chance of succeeding earlier in the game with it, maybe.
Yeah. Although I think people are on the lookout for the Lions to do that now because we've done it so often.
Yeah.
That's true.
But I love that. That's why we're unpredictable. You know, we're so unpredictable that you have to expect everything.
The only thing predictable about us is that we're unpredictable. Yeah. I like it.
So the Lions move to 1-1. Depending on the outcome of this Monday night game, where the Eagles are currently up 21-7 on the Vikings and have 300 more yards than them in offense at the end of the first half, I would assume the Vikings do not pull this one out. And they move to 1-1. That being said,
and
the Dolphins came back down from
pool.
21. The Jets scored 13 points in the last minute and 50 seconds to beat the Browns.
Yeah.
That was the craziest one. The Browns, all they had to do is fall down. Their running back ran in the end zone. It gave the Jets the ball back. The Browns forgot they needed to just play prevent defense, let a guy score immediately on the next play. And then they recover an onside kick and... I mean, it was hilarious. If you think the Lions lose in bad fashion, it probably doesn't get any worse than what the Browns did.
That's like we won that one game. Who was it that they accidentally fell into the end zone?
Was the Falcons game. Todd Gurley.
Yeah, the Falcons.
Yeah.
This was worse, though, because they were still up 13. The Jets had no timeouts and only a minute and 30 seconds left on the clock. So chance in hell. They had to... I mean,
you blew it.
But the Browns let them score in one play. That was the big thing. Yeah. Like, if they let them methodically go down, maybe they get the ball back with like a second, even if they recover the onside kick. But the Browns the safety and the cornerback just both stopped like moving. Both of them thought they had the deep guy. Neither of them did. And Corey Davis was just wide open by like 30 yards for an easy touchdown.
I can just imagine my brother-in-law's head just exploding.
Hey, speaking of heads exploding, we had Rio on into the Lions Den. I looked at his YouTube reaction to the game. He was so pissed. He was like, kind of he's like, this team is a disaster. And all. You know, like, it was funny. But
we tried to warn him.
We did. We did.
Yeah. Hey, he answered two on my fear test. So, I mean, he was under. He understood.
No, he was good. He was a good guess for sure. But.
So the Lions will be heading to Minnesota next week. They are 7.5-point underdogs currently. So no respect after week two victory against Washington. But nonetheless.
Oh, we coming, baby.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's not like, I don't think, I mean, again, they're down. Now it's 24-7 at halftime. The Vikings are down. So the the Lions and Vikings in first half against the Eagles. Very similar results. But nonetheless, big game for first place in the division next week. And we'll have a lot to look forward to. So we'll be back later this week previewing that game. Other than that, we want to thank SidelineReport.com for hosting the podcast. We want to thank our producer, Kid J. For producing the podcast.
We'll get
always appreciate his efforts there. And then Instagram at Drinking Blue Kool-Aid, Twitter at Drinking Lions. Follow us on there. Let us know your thoughts on week two. Are you drinking Blue Kool-Aid along with us? And, you know, follow, subscribe to the podcast on Apple, Spotify, wherever you get your podcasts. And please leave a review. Other than that, thank you everybody for listening. We greatly appreciate it. And last but not least, as always, go!
Go!
Forward down the field, a charging team that will not yield. And when the blue and silver wave, stand and cheer the brave. Rock, 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 go hard, win the game. With honor you will keep your fame. Down the field and gain a Lions victory.
Go!
Go.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, activities, excursions, and more in one place to make your trip truly unforgettable. Viator has over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from. Everything from simple tours to extreme adventures and all the niche, interesting stuff in between. So you can plan something that everyone you're traveling with will enjoy. Real traveler reviews give the inside scoop from people who've already been on the experiences you're considering, so you can plan with confidence. Free cancellation helps you plan for the unexpected, and 24/7 customer support means you can travel worry-free. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.